This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. We turn now to the decision we face every time we shop for groceries, the choice between food from local farmers and cheaper, mass-produced alternatives. Except in this story, lives are at stake. The food we're talking about is a kind of fortified peanut butter that's saving the lives of malnourished children in dozens of countries around the world. And aid organizations are now thinking, if they could make this food locally, they could have an even bigger impact. They could create jobs, for instance, in Haiti, where 80% of people don't have work. NPR's Dan Charles has that story.
On the northern coast of Haiti, in the city of Cape Haitien, there's a shanty town called Chada, where people live on almost nothing. The homes are jammed up against each other with barely space to walk between them. And in the middle of this slum, a powerhouse of a woman named Madame Bois runs a free clinic. If your child is sick or weak, you go to Madame Bois.
This is the list of the kids that we provide services yesterday.
She pulls out a ragged piece of paper with 41 names scrawled on it. All these children, she says, came in suffering from malnutrition.
Some of them have big belly. They have yellow, red hair.
And these children all get the same medicine. We give them Medicamamba, Madame Bois says. That's Creole for peanut butter medicine. It's basically peanut butter with some added ingredients. Milk powder, oil, sugar, and all the vitamins and minerals that a growing child needs. And it works, Madame Bois says. After 3 or 4 weeks eating this daily package of energy and nutrients, the children will be fine. So 10 years ago, if these children showed up, what did you give them then?
Oh, they used to die.
Just over a decade ago, a French doctor came up with this peanut butter recipe and called it Plumpy Nut. It was first tested in the African country of Malawi. Pediatrician Pat Wolf learned how to make it there. She's the person who first brought it to Haiti and called her version Medicamamba.
The previous 70 years, the recommendation from the World Health Organization had been liquid milk with a little sugar and oil in it, and sometimes extra vitamins and minerals if you could ever find them.
But that earlier treatment required refrigeration for the milk. Often it took a feeding tube.
And required the parents to be in the hospital with the child for a month.
This new peanut paste has turned out to be better in almost every way. Children like it. They can eat it at home, so it's easier on families, and more sick children survive by far. All over the world, this so-called ready-to-use therapeutic food has become the gold standard for treating severely malnourished children. So that's the medical side of the story, an amazing success. But there's also a business story that's still being written.
Okay, hi guys.
I met Pat Wolf in a brand new building a few miles outside Cape Haitien. These are the new offices of the organization she founded, Meds and Food for Kids.
We're not really completely moved in yet.
Wolf set up Meds and Food for Kids in 2003 to bring ready-to-use therapeutic food to Haiti. They started in a small rented house, grinding up peanuts in the kitchen, stirring all the ingredients together by hand, distributing their Medicamamba to local clinics. But she felt like just passing out food wasn't enough.
We came here to rescue kids, right? But, you know, that doesn't go anywhere. It just goes nowhere except to more rescue. Why do you suppose those children are malnourished? They're malnourished because their parents have no money, and they have no money because they have no employment.
One day, Pat Wolf had what she calls an epiphany. Medicamamba, she realized, could provide employment if she made it on a much bigger scale. Because by this time, it was about 5 years ago, ready-to-use therapeutic food had become big business. UNICEF was buying millions of dollars worth of it every year for distribution in Haiti alone. But UNICEF was buying it from pristine, quality-controlled factories far away, mostly in France. The peanuts came from places like Argentina. Pat Wolf thought, we can make it here, in a factory employing Haitian workers buying peanuts from Haitian farmers. She thought it could be an example that others could follow.
So that there would be more factories like this, more factories making other things, more people being employed, instead of just always rescuing.
That's the dream, and part of it is becoming reality. Pat Wolf's group, Meds and Food for Kids, has a big new factory just a few miles from the slums of Cape Haitien. MFK's Jamie Rhodes takes me on a tour.
That noise you're hearing is the sound of money. No, it's the... Every time you hear that noise, it's 92 grams of hot peanut butter getting squished into a little bag.
Those little sealed packets will go to UNICEF for the World Food Program and then to hospitals and clinics all over Haiti. But potentially an even bigger impact will be felt in the countryside among Haitian farmers who grow the peanuts. Jamie Rhodes is the person at MFK who works most closely with the farmers. He takes me out to meet some of them. The road there is terrible, unpaved and rocky. But Rhodes says, look at this land. There's not much growing there now, but this northern plain of Haiti used to be one of the wealthiest agricultural areas in the world, and it could be again.
The soil fertility is really good. There's water everywhere, and it's just kind of like this gold mine of agricultural wealth waiting to happen, I think. I mean, look around you. It's totally green. Whatever they need, they could grow in this northern plain.
We get to the farm and walk right into the middle of a party, a peanut harvesting party. It's a small taste of that agricultural wealth that Jamie Rhodes is dreaming about. These farmers are growing peanuts for MFK's new peanut butter factory, and MFK is helping them do it more cheaply. The organization brought in a small tractor to help clear the fields and also sprayed the plants with a chemical that helps control fungal diseases. The farmers tell me, as a result, they're getting almost twice as many peanuts as in previous years. I see big piles of peanut plants just pulled from the earth. Men and women are sitting beside them, picking peanuts off the roots and dropping them into buckets.
This is a big step. I mean, this is the first time I've been around in a harvest where the peanuts look this good. And I think the excitement that you're hearing in the background is the people responding to that as well, because everyone is telling me, in my whole life, I've never seen peanuts like this.
More farmers want to join the program, which should mean more peanuts for MFK's factory and more money in farmers' pockets. It's all great, except for one thing, economics. These local peanuts still cost too much. It's mainly because small Haitian farmers have so little machinery. They have to pay people to plant by hand, weed by hand, harvest the peanuts by hand. Meds and Food for Kids actually pays more for these Haitian peanuts than peanuts that they import from the U.S. or Argentina. And that higher cost is tough to pass along to customers.
We sell to UNICEF, and UNICEF and others are very price sensitive, and we're competing with the international market.
Other organizations that try to make this food locally in other developing countries report the same thing. Local, small-scale production turns out to be more expensive production. For now, at least, UNICEF has agreed to buy local, even if it costs a little more, even 20% more. But the big long-term goal, Jamie Rhodes says, is to keep working with the peanut farmers, helping them grow more peanuts for less money. Rhodes thinks they can do it with some better peanut varieties that resist disease and a little more labor-saving equipment. And then, he says, those farmers won't even need MFK's factory anymore. They'll be able to sell their peanuts for a good price at any market in Haiti. They'll make a lot of money. And in the end, he says, that's the best way to make sure that their children won't go hungry. Dan Charles, NPR News.